Hello, hello, hello. What's up, everybody? This is Supriya Mehra, your mortgage advisor, and you're listening to the Canadian Real Estate 101 podcast. More people than ever are building generational wealth through real estate. And on this show, I sit down with some of the top real estate agents, lawyers, accountants, and investors to discuss the ideas, the opportunities, and the strategies that they are taking advantage of so the rest of us can do the same. Hello and welcome to Canadian Real Estate 101 podcast. I'm your host, Supriya Mehra. And before we get on to today's show, I wanted to share a stat, a tip when looking to refinance or renew your mortgage. Each year, as you know, mortgages come up for renewals for different citizens or PR residents and so on. And here's a crazy stat. Renewal amount for this year itself is approximately $250 billion in mortgages. Yes, that's billion with a B. And if you are one of those people for who the mortgage is coming up for renewal, then you will need to pay special attention, a close attention for what I'm going to say next. There are four quadrants that you need to look into when determining how you want to proceed with your renewal. First quadrant is going to look at your income. Has your income changed over the last little while? Has it gone up or down? Has there been a change in your career? Or are you thinking about changing careers or becoming self-employed? The second quadrant is you need to look into your cash flow. How's your monthly budgeting or cash flow going? Like most of us, are you feeling the pinch? Do you need extra cash to manage your monthly expenses or extra cushion to manage monthly expenses? Third would be your debt quadrant. Have you increased your credit card bills or taken over extra line of credit to manage your day-to-day expenses? Or are you paying higher interest rates on these loans or credit cards? Is there an opportunity to consolidate the debt in one single payment and help you save thousands of dollars in the interest payments? Fourth is your property quadrant. What is the current value of your home? Is there any renovation that you want to get done over the next little while? Are you still comfortable with the current home you have? Are you looking to buy an investment property? These are the four quadrants that you need to look into in order for you to assess if it's going to be a straightforward renewal or you need to have a discussion around refinancing and pull out some equity to help one of these quadrants. Now, renewal is a great opportunity to plan for this. Your mortgage is the biggest expense and opportunity for you to achieve what you want. If you want to figure out what would be the best scenario for you, I'm happy to do a complimentary strategy call to figure out the best option. Simply book a call through the Calendly link provided in the show notes. Now, let's hop on to today's episode. Today we have Aisha Giovanni as our guest. We talk about midterm rentals, and I'm thrilled to finally have her on the show after a long back and forth. Aisha, along with her partner Sarah Larby, have developed this midterm rental model where they offer furnished rentals to a niche market. They help bridge the gap between the investors and the guests through B2B collaborations. They work with immigration lawyers, startup companies, divorce lawyers, contractors, and realtors to provide quality accommodations on, as the name sounds, midterm. I'm eager to share our discussion about this midterm rental model. So let's get started and unpack the world of midterm rentals. Hi, Aisha. Thank you so much for joining me today at Canadian Real Estate 101 podcast. How are you?
Hi, Supriya. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing
well. Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you. I know we've been going back and forth, and I intended to have you much earlier in the game, but here we are after a year of kind of going back and forth. But I'm so excited and pumped to have you today. So thank you.
Of course, I'm happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what are you up to these days?
Yeah, so my name is Aisha Giovanni, and I am one of the co-founders of Mitra Rental Properties, myself and my business partner, Sarah Larby, whom some of your listeners might know. We both run a furnished rental company that is a minimum of 1 month, month to month, and can go as high as 12 months for some of our clients. And we're a B2B company. So what that means is our target market, our target client, we have two sets. One would be the investor who owns the home, and then the second client would be the guest. And what we like to do is partner with companies that have high volumes of either staff or clients themselves that could require a furnished rental at any given time. So an example of this would be an immigration lawyer. We work with immigration lawyers who bring in established entrepreneurs. We work with visa startup companies who bring in established entrepreneurs. Perhaps we work with a divorce lawyer where a family needs a second home during a separation. We work with contractors who their clients are in the middle of a renovation. And we work with realtors who could be dealing with a gap in between a sell and a buy where their clients require a space to live while the transition is happening. So this is just a small example of who we like to work with to bring in repeat quality guests into the homes of our investors.
Fantastic. And then obviously these clients are, then you have the back end, which is the investor who actually have a property. And then how does that work? So see, for example, I'm an investor. I have a property in, let's say, Burlington. And I am going out of country and I don't want to Airbnb just because of so many stipulations and whatnot. I don't want to get into that mess. So we reach out to you. What are the next steps? How does everything roll out?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. So firstly, if you were only renting us out your primary home because you were going away, for a short period of time, or it would really depend on the duration that you were going for. If you said to me, Aisha, I'm going away for 1 month, it really wouldn't work because we need the house on the market for a minimum of 6 months or up to a year. So let's revert that to saying you just had a secondary property that you no longer wanted your long-term tenant in, you wanted to furnish it, and you wanted to put it on the midterm market. So A, we could start by offering you our course. We do have a course that explains the midterm rental strategy as well as how to set up your home and then how to even market your home. Because we are non-exclusive, as a homeowner, you can reach out to anyone to market your property. So you bring us the home. We also have a furnishing arm where we can help you get it set up. And then depending on the area you're in, so Burlington is one of my favorite areas. It is one of our most busiest areas. So we take your property and then we start marketing it. When there's a multiple facets of how we market, so one of the most, the biggest focus we have on marketing is direct calling. So we have a sales team that literally does cold calling direct to the company. And so we would call all of the companies in Burlington and reach out and tell them, we have a new property on our roster. This is what the specs are. This is pictures. We would reach out to insurance claim departments in Burlington. And then again, all of the service providers I'd mentioned earlier to you to let them know that we have a new property. We market on social media. We market on our website. And then, of course, we have our monthly event. We have a separate group called Investors and Entrepreneurs of Canada. But hand in hand, we bring in guests during those events to then market our company, to then be able to market your property. So there's a couple of facets on how we do that. We are a full service company. So what that means is, our goal is a guest allocator. We take your property and we essentially pair it with the guest. And then we handle the full booking. We handle the inquiry. We handle the payment. We handle the contract. So there'll be a contract between you and I, you as a homeowner. And then there'll be a contract between myself and the guest. And then we do all the communication. So we follow up with the guest during their stay, make sure they have everything. We'll do a walkthrough of your property prior to the check-in to make sure you have everything set up correctly so that the quality assurance is there for the guest. And then every month they pay out, we pay you out until checkout. We do collect a damage deposit. So after checkout, we ask you to send your cleaner in to do a walkthrough. And then you say there's no damage that's been done. And then we refund the deposit.
Okay. And I'm just curious, how did the idea of midterm rentals come? What was the gap that you were trying to fill? Or just in general, like, how did it come to fruition?
Yeah, great question. So my business partner, Sarah Larby, she has been doing midterms on her rentals just by fluke for a few years. So she kind of started to pay attention to the type of guest demographic that was checking into her units. And as the short-term bylaws were getting tighter and tighter, of course, she wanted to explore how to best navigate her furnished rentals in that industry. So she kind of took note that there were people staying longer, right? 1 month, 6 months, 9 months. And then she kind of assessed what type of people are staying. And she noticed it's perhaps snowbirds, right? Someone coming in for 3 to 6 months during the summer. Perhaps, again, as mentioned, you know, the list of guests we have, you know, someone coming between a renovation. So when the bylaws started to roll out really tight last year, particularly in Hamilton, which is where a lot of her rentals are, and in the Hamilton area, he went and purchased a website, midtermrentalproperties.com, you know, a couple of years before, kind of held on to it. And then last summer said, you know, the bylaws are rolling out. I think we should start a business. And I think there is a demographic that is, there's the gap there. And the gap is guests who will, no matter what the economic climate, require a furnished rental for a minimum of 1 month. These are people who usually have families, so they need a bigger space, right? Hotels will not do. These are people who have pets. These are people who are maybe need accessibility. Maybe they want a driveway. Like they want, you know, there's a lot of features that a hotel cannot fulfill, and nobody wants to live in a hotel for a month, right? So it gives you a full kitchen. It gives you a living space. So as the economy got worse, and as recreational stays in short-term properties declined, because that's the first thing people do is they scale back on what am I spending on recreationally. So cottages were not doing well. Any cities where it is a summer town were not doing well. Any purchases driven by recreational were just not doing well. So we decided to tap into a market where no matter what is happening, these clients would require a midterm rental. And that's sort of how we came up with the conclusion of state helping investors save their properties in, and able to still keep them furnished, not being bullied into a long-term tenant, but still able to get high-quality guests whom are homeowners themselves. So they'll treat your property correctly. And you know they have a home to go back to, so they're not going to turn around and decide to stay and not pay. And so we really found that it was untapped. And as we started calling, we actually realized a lot of these, the guests didn't, they were finding a lot of pain points trying to find properties they needed. Like they were struggling. So for example, we connected with a visa startup in Peterborough. Their primary role is to grow Peterborough's economy. So they bring in all of these established entrepreneurs into Peterborough. Now, what was happening is, all of the entrepreneurs were leaving Peterborough to go live somewhere else because they couldn't find temporary housing that fit their needs. Family of five did not want to live in a hotel for the 3 to 6 month term that they had to stay there for the cohort for their training. So they really came to us with like, we don't know what to do. We're already working with a realtor. Now, remember, a realtor only has access to so many different properties. More likely than not, it's the majority of what's on MLS. And because of Sarah's reputation and her reach by the podcast and within the network, we have access to like 5,000 properties. We can do a property call and we can reach out to someone and say, we need a 2-bedroom here or 3-bedroom. And investors who don't have their property on the market will reach out because they know we can give them a grade A quality guest. So they're not worried to get in the wrong person in their home. So and they probably landed there.
Yeah, no, that's a great model to have. You literally understood the gap between what clients are looking for. And since the podcast already had that reach, you knew how to fulfill that gap. So excellent idea. Now, in terms of the location, are there specific cities that you currently have rolled this out? Is it within Ontario only or is it outside of Ontario as well?
Yeah, so we're in 44 cities across Canada. And then we're also launching this year into the US. And we've also acquired a few properties internationally. So we're officially international, I would say. We have a property in the US already and two, one in Mexico, one in Costa Rica. But yeah, we plan to be worldwide within the next year or two.
Perfect. How does, I'm just curious, how does the liability or insurance kind of plays the role? What kind of insurance does the investor need in this scenario?
Good question. So the investor will require to obtain a short-term insurance policy. Now, the word is short-term, but it still covers the midterm strategy and allows you to put in any claim that when damage has occurred by a guest that stayed at your home, like particularly a guest. So if an investor comes to me and says, oh, well, I have tenant insurance. No, that's not going to work because it's not your tenant. They're not signing a lease. Yes, they may be living in your home, but they are only a guest and they will remain a guest till they check out. So your insurance has to show that you're covered by a guest. So when we onboard you, which is very similar to onboarding on Airbnb, you upload all the information for your property. We require you to show us and prove to us you have short-term insurance because the last thing we need is to put in a guest in your home and then you don't have the right coverage and then, you know, you're in hot water.
Yeah, absolutely. And how does the tenant-landlord regulations come up here? So say, for example, does it fall under the tenant-landlord board? How does that work out? Specifically Ontario, yeah. I'm curious about because long-term, it's not very, as we know, a landlord-friendly province at this point.
Yeah, so great question and great point. So that's actually one of the primary reasons we launched the company is that, you know, like most of us have been burned, if not once, more than once by a long-term tenant. And we are in desperate need to not have to go down that route again, especially since, you know, inflation is only going up and tenants just don't have the funding. They just don't have the money to keep up with the funding that we need to maintain our property. So it's really the government's put us between a rock and a hard place. So we have to be very careful when running our company to not skate on the RTA line. So everything we do is with complete purpose. So for example, the biggest thing we do to ensure that we stay away from the Landlord-Tenant Act and that the guest cannot turn into an unwanted tenant is how we acquire them. So the biggest part is, you know, where am I looking for these guests? We don't like to blanket market and hope that people just find us on our website or on Facebook or on social media. That's not our strategy. It doesn't bring in the right type of guest. A lot of the time, this long-term, tenants who literally just couldn't pass the qualifications and they couldn't get into a place. And for us, by law, we do not screen and do not run the same checks you do as applying for a tenant, because that would be the first mistake we would make. If we would ask for a credit check, we ask for T4s, if we ask for proof of income, all of those things then give them, okay, well, you're qualifying me as a tenant, so obviously my rights are going to be as a tenant. So A, we make sure that our home, the guests that we bring in can prove proof of primary residence. So I know you have a home that you own that you are going back to when this stay is over. We get a clarification of the reason for their stay. Does your story make sense? Are you staying here because you have a fire flood? I need to talk to your insurance provider. Are you staying here because you have a new job? Great. Who's your employer and who's your contact information for that employment? Are you shopping for a house? Wonderful. Who's your realtor? So it's really majority of the time we are working directly with a service provider of that guest who's also serving them. So that's the one way we keep, the guest. One of the big primary ways we keep the guests as guests and not turning into a tenant. It's really how we screen them and how we acquire them, because our investors come to us because they do not want a long-term tenant in there, and nor do they want to do short-term. So we really have to ensure that we protect our investors when we qualify and screen.
Okay. So in terms of the investment, it's partially finished or it's fully finished. How does that work out? And what's on an average, say it's a 3-bedroom property, what's an average investment that's required for the property to be fully functioning?
Mm-hmm, great question. So So the property is required to be completely and fully furnished and accessorized. So imagine you're walking into an Airbnb. You want to have full furnishings, bedding, linens, towels, bathroom accessories, kitchen accessories, fully stocked kitchen, pots, pans, stuff, utensils to cook with, And then we'll even start them off with toilet paper, paper towel, shampoo, conditioner, salt, pepper, oil for like the first 2 weeks of their stay. You know, it's really got to be all they do is walk in and bring their clothes. Now, because of the type of level of clients that we serve, majority of them being homeowners or about to purchase their own home, we also have to make sure it's furnished, you know, at a high-end level. We work with a lot of executives as well. We work with a lot of corporations that bring in high-level executives. So it doesn't have to be, you know, a luxury, but it does have to be, you know, everything should be matching, go well together. If not brand new, in great condition. You know, you don't want to go to your grandmother's house and get her old couch and her old dining table. Like, I love antique. So if it's in great condition and it works with your design, you know, I won't say no to real hardwood. I love that stuff. But you want to make sure, and I tell this to my investors, when you walk in that home, you ask yourself, if I was to charge you, for example, for a three-bedroom home in Burlington, you could probably take home as an investor around $4,000, could be up to $4,500, depending on the budget of the client. So would you pay that each month walking into this home? Mm-hmm. Right? So the decor, the feeling when you walk in the home, the hand towels match, and there's nice throw pillows and a throw blanket, like, you're really going to be able to charge what you put into that home. And that's really going to determine how much you can make. But we don't take on homes that are not fully furnished. Washer dryer in-house is also highly encouraged. On-property parking is obviously wonderful. A backyard is wonderful, but none of those are required. If you had a property and only street parking was available, or if you had a property and there was no backyard, you know, we're happy to work with that. We have some basements on our portfolio, but not many. Most of my guests don't like basements because, again, they're homeowners themselves and they're going to be there, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months. They don't want to be in a basement, but in certain locations, like for example, Burlington, I will take a basement because some people prefer location over property type. So if I have, you know, three top floors in Hamilton, but you really want to be in Burlington, you might take my basement to stay in Burlington.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. And yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. And just one more thing is that the utilities and internet and lawn care are also mandatory to be included in the cost of running the property and to provide the guests.
I was going to get there. So in terms of other costs, like how does the property management works out in this scenario? Who's responsible for what? Is it your team who takes care of it, or is it the investor who needs to take care of property management?
So we do not do property management. We do only guest allocation. So investors are either required to property manage themselves. And if they cannot for any reason, or they just don't want to, we are partnered with property managers who we can refer you to, who understand how we work, who understand the requirement and the level of sensitivity with our guests. And it can be as hands off or as hands on if you want it to be. If you're like, I don't want to deal with anything, you know, I'm going to hire a cleaner, I'm going to hire a property manager, you just deal with them back and forth, I'm out of the country, like, you know, just send me my check every month, we're happy to do that for you. If you want to be super hands on and you want to chat about each guest and you want to know who's staying in your home and what their background is and who they are, I'm happy to have those conversations too. As fellow investors, we understand, you know, what's been put into these homes to invest and to buy these properties. And people want them to be well-maintained. So we are very transparent in who our guests are, how we acquire them. And along the way, however you want to move forward, we'll work with your property manager and cleaner and so on.
Okay, sounds wonderful. And while we wrap up, any final thoughts that you have, anything that you would love for people to consider when they are thinking about midterm rentals?
Yeah, I would say, you know, ask yourself what you want to do with your property. We love midterm rentals because you can get a good ROI. So you're cash flowing. You're making about 1.5 times as you would on the long term. So you're making extra money. You're not worrying about a long-term tenant. It's really depending on your strategy, what you're doing with that property. And it's a good way to be able to, you know, decide who's going to be in that home. And if so, I have some people coming who are like, I just want you in there for a year and then I'm going to sell it. or I'm going away for a year and then I'm coming back and I'm going to move in. So, you know, it's a really great way to be flexible, to be hands off, and it's really nice to not have a turnover every few days or every week and just have someone in there 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, but still not permanent. And at any point you need your property back with us, you can just say, here's my 30-day notice, I need my property back, please remove the guest. So yeah, if anyone has any more questions, you can reach us at midtermrentalproperties.com.
Perfect. And I think it's a great combination, or it's a great way if you don't want a long-term tenancy and you are not into short-term either. It's a perfect solution for situations like these. We know so many people or investors or homeowners who want to sell but probably want to wait out for a few months once the market is slightly better, probably spring. And this could be that perfect timeline. Say, for example, our personal experience, we have a property in Kitchener and we listed out for a sale in December, perhaps, but we're not getting the kind of traction that we needed. So we decided to give it short term at this point for 4 months or 5 months contract to someone. But by the end of the summer or prior to the summer, we know that they will be leaving and we will probably relist it or figure something else out at that point. So in terms of the strategy, I think it's a great solution if neither short term nor long term work out as a solution. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, anytime.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today, Aisha. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was lovely meeting you and lovely chatting. I had a great time.
You too. Take care. As we wrap up this insightful conversation with Aisha, it's clear that midterm rental properties is filling a significant gap in the rental market. Aisha's journey from identifying the unique needs of midterm rental clients to establishing a successful business model that caters to both investors and guests is truly inspiring. If you want to learn more about this model, simply check out their website or reach out to Aisha's team. Contact information is provided on the show notes. That's all for today, folks. This is Supriya Mehra signing off, and I shall see you next time.